My name is Robin. I'm an addict.
Hi, Robin.
Oh, my God. Eh? Hello. How do you do? Can you hear me okay? How's this mic going? Do you hear me at the back all right?
Let's talk a little closer to it.
Talk a little closer, lean in.
Yeah.
All right. Perfection is my aim. Good meeting so far. Wonderful speaker. Thanks for taking the meeting. Nice to see everybody. Wonderful room. Special room, powerful room, magic room, you know. I walked in, it was just some kind of ordinary room full of chairs. By now, by everybody sitting here, by everybody being here, by everybody being who they are, who we are, this is a special room. A little bit of reading start me off, pull me out of the street mode that I've been operating on all day, bopping around, stepping out of the way of cars, sidestepping cops, whatever I do, you know. And I get here, and it's a room. We sit down, I see people. First reading, I don't hear anything, you know, still looking around. Halfway through the second reading, I say, oh, yeah, oh, that bit, that's a nice bit, you know. Third reading, oh, I'm calming down. Then I already heard a good chair. I see everybody. I see some, everybody looks nice. Some people I never seen before. Some people I've seen for a good while now. And I start to realize, you know, this is my special place. It's not a regular room for me, but it's my special place. Yeah. Remarkable amount of energy in this room now. Focused energy. And for this little moment here, with this 40 minutes or whatever, I am the voice. I am the articulating moment of that energy. It would be quiet were one of us not up here on this side of the microphone. Yeah? There's a voice to every meeting. Everybody gets a turn. Yeah? Everybody's part of it. Because if you weren't on that side, it would be just me babbling in an empty room. But this ain't that. This is a charged cell of energy focused. And it's my magic place. It's my magic place. I want magic. I don't want some fucked world, which is all I could ever seem to get my hands on. I spent my life dancing as quick as I could, leaping left, jumping right, grabbing, sprinting, running, looking for magic. You know, I wanted something more. You know what's there, but you can never quite get it. Maybe if I just turn my head a little quicker, you know. Something's going on. Maybe I go with her. Maybe I get my hands on that money. Maybe if I run with those guys. Maybe if I'm on that stage. Who knows? Huh? It's an elusive son of a bitch. I already told my story. It didn't take long. I said, my name is Robin, and I'm an addict. That's it. That's the whole thing. Everything I got to say now is coloring in the picture. Because I was an addict. Ever. Always. You know, I'm an addict now. I was an addict before I found this, before I woke up, before I had the crystal moment of revelation. If you made a bloody video of my life, the way I was, if you never heard of the word addict, you might figure it out. If you made a video of the way I was and I moved and I acted, you'd have that. But if you made a video of the way I was inside, it would leave the first video cold standing. Because I was out of control. It wasn't even like that's the way I wanted to be, you know. Getting tossed in jail, getting smashed up here, on the run over there, doing with this, dealing with that, hanging out with crazed amphetamine nuts, gunmen in this fucking place. What am I doing? I don't know. And in a minute, I'll pull out of this tailspin. That minute, for me, lasted 17 years. That's a long time. You say a number 17, it's a number. There's nothing as subjective as time. Nothing. You know, I say 17. For me, that was as a young teenager, and then I made it into my 30s. That's a long time. That's like the dinosaurs come along, they rise, they fall. It's still happening in that period of time when I was a young teenager in the country. Then I'm playing on a global stage of mania, which is what I got up to. I had shiny toys and faster comradeship, but I was still demented. And this isn't what I really want to do, and I'll pull it all together as soon as I figure out what to do, which will be tomorrow. But right now, let's do some more dope. And let's turn up the volume and pass me the bottle. And, oh, darling, let's go to bed. Diversion, distraction, mania, you know? And I know, you know, whatever words I can say, they're never going to give the full picture, but I don't need to, because we're all already here. We know that part of the story. We know that part of the story. It never ceases to amaze me, to impress me. Everybody's here because they want a better life and they're willing to do something about it. I'm floored. My whole life, I was a young kid at the end of the 60s. It was like the age of Aquarius, made big promises, but the actual on the ground bit was kind of hard to figure out, you know. Album covers, it would give you a clue how to dress, but it wasn't a very substantial day-by-day code of behavior, you know. I didn't know what to do. I never knew what to do, you know. I used for 17 years. I've been around longer than that now. That's a long time, you know. And people sometimes, they say to me, like it's the odd time I see somebody that I knew using, and they're around now, and they say, what, you've been around that long? And I say, man, I had my rock bottom. I had my rock bottom. Fuck. Did I have my rock bottom? And I could put on a good front. A byproduct of my principal obsession made me money. I had cash. That made it easier to look like you're doing good for a while. I could live in a cool place, and I could whip around the world, and I could hang out with this and that. And I was an obsessive dope dealer. No, my story's not brand new after I'm around these few years, you know. But I was wired, utterly wired, on the most powerful drug that is known to humanity. And that drug is, of course, adrenaline. You just think about it, eh? That's what they make movies about. They don't make movies about Robin Hood's older brother, Milton, the accountant. He don't get a look in. He's around collecting his pension, no doubt, but fuck that, you know. It's sex, it's drugs, it's rock and roll, and it's pump up the volume, you know. And that's how I lived. I was a dope dealer from the 60s. You can be honorable in any chosen field. There was a good way of doing it, and I did that way. You know, I was running from California by the end around the world, you know. And I'm going to quit in a minute. Just as soon as I make this next stake, then I'll pull out of this madness, this fucking soap opera, and I'll get it together then, and then I'll do something that's important, that's worthwhile. Man, delusion. It just go on and on and on. I'll pull it together, I'll get it together, I'll, what, you know? And every once in a while, and I mean maybe twice, I'd have a moment of clarity. Remember a couple, I remember walking along just under the street light, and I said, what the hell am I doing? Just that, simple as that. What the hell am I doing, you know? Didn't go any farther, that one. Another one, I'm in a biker clubhouse. I'm way the fuck out. The place is surrounded by floodlights, barbed wire, German shepherds, remote-controlled gate, gunmen inside. We've been on a three-day crack binge. I'm sweating alcohol. And everybody is extremely jangled, thank you. I think this is an epic of endurance. This is in no way pleasurable. They fucking got the neon lights on, the television on, the stereo on. And I'm like the long-haired, big-time connection. I always wore sunglasses. Fuck, I'm sitting there. I think, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing? And again, that one must have lasted all of 2 minutes. And then you go by the coping mechanism, the coping strategy, the yada, 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 you know? That covers a lot of ground, all that shit. what's relevant to say about it. The first time I got clean, I was, fill in the blank, 16 years old. I was a street kid. I'm from a good middle class, respectable family, and I was born with the wild gene, I guess. I don't know. I never could see where I ended up the way I ended up with what decision got me to this particular nexus of life. I never knew. But put me in a, you know, I'm a dealer, put me in a supply of drugs, and I will sit there, and I will start, and then I will keep, you know, and the guys come back to the apartment and say, I left here 5 hours ago, and you were sitting there doing that, shoving that stuff into yourself, and you're still sitting right here, shoving that into yourself. What? I don't know. I just do it. And it didn't make me feel good. I got very nervous, very tense. And what are people really meaning when they say whatever they think? What did they say? I said, oh, God. Christ, you know? I got clean, I was 16. The way I did that, it worked a short time then. I took a yoga night school course in my village. And somehow that gave me, I moved out of the dope squat and I was able to reunite with my birth family there. For a while, and not very long, but I stayed so clean and sober, the phrase, whatever, for a little while. And then I thought, now catch this phrase, this is good. Now, I'll smoke a joint on Friday night, like everyone else. And I smoked a joint and went straight into, oh man, more. Wake up in the morning, go! Don't go to sleep at night. Run dope deals. I got clean again, I was 17. That time I lasted the incredible duration of possibly 2 months. You know, somebody I remember once, what the hell was it? Remember this. This was one of my moments. I was all of 2 years, and the speaker at this meeting was 6 months. And for a microsecond, I swear, I thought, 6 months. Oh, 6 months. Oh, I'm 2 years, 6 months. Fuck it. 6 months. 17 years. You never got 10 minutes. With all the effort in the world, I might have got, I think once I got 3 months. 6 months. I respected it. I've never again found my idiot brain handing me that nonsense about like I got more than somebody else. You got a day. I'm floored. I'm dazzled. I'm impressed. This is my magic place. And that kind of stuff, that adrenaline, which is still my favorite drug, you know, I think, wow, fucking hell, I'm dazzled. 17, fell off, went back, blah, blah. 18, I had my first drink. It was legal then. The drink was a relief to me because I was no longer so jangled on the psychedelic drugs. Narcotics Anonymous, first time I ever came, I said, what is a narcotic? You know, big deal. You know, it wasn't particularly my drug. And you know, I think about that. I think if you wanted to get dicey, you'd say, well, I didn't take narcotics as such, or at least not very much, or at least not as much as those other guys did, or et cetera. Big deal. The message I got was that this might help. Actually, I didn't get that at all at the beginning. My birthday would be right about now, actually. But I mean, you know, they were shoving me to go to a meeting, okay. And then I went, and I thought, whoa, how very strange. And I went back, I went. I thought that was it, you know. Like going to the dentist, you just went once, you know. Tried to never go again. And then for a little while, I stopped doping that particular summer. Blind drunk. As soon as the pub's open, I was in there drinking. They say, but you know, you're not supposed to drink. I thought, well, you get the fuck, what do you want? Jesus Christ. Some people, you know. Like there's drugs, and then, you know, it was legal. You could buy it, you know, cigarettes. Anyway. To cut that little segment of my repertoire brief here, had what I called clean for a month, and somebody popped around, got me really, really loaded. I went back, what I was doing, I was with a counselor at that time, and I said, ah, yeah, fuck, well, I got high last night. The guy says, right. Now stop drinking. And I'm prone to being bullied. I said, well, yeah. And then the guy says this, and he said, and this got through to me. Because what gets through? The only requirement for membership here is being completely fucked. I think that says that right in the book, you know, or else it's just the way I read it. What got through my fog, and my lifelong, I'm always out of it, and this is what I do as soon as I get up. I lunge for some pipe or bottle or something, you know. The guy says, "You're paying me for my advice. Now take it." And I went. Again, I stopped drinking. I stopped doping. I was doing it a little bit on knuckle, white knuckle, willpower, whatever. And then the strangest thing happened. And I will never know. I don't know how this happened. I have no idea. But I do know what happened, and it was this. I had a flash, you know. And it was all far quicker than I can say the words, but I saw it, boom, like this. This is an illness. You got this illness. That's why you fucked your whole life. Now, if you do what these people are saying, everything's going to be all right. But condensed, boing, you know. That was September 14th, the afternoon, mid-afternoon, 1 microsecond, September 14th, 1987, and I never touched again. Every other mistake you could make, I made it. Every other fucking thing I did. But I never touched again, and I never ran another dope deal, and I never, I've been trying ever since, you know. And it is hard. Now, I would... People say, when I came around, I thought this. I hear that. You know what I came, what I thought when I come around? I thought, fuck all. I could no longer think. I cried. What I did, I'd sit there and I just had a head full of rain, you know. It was bad. It was bad. I never thought anything, but if I could have thought, you know. I think I did have a coherent thought. It was brief. It was something like, I'll do this for about 9 months, and then I'll have a joint on Friday night like everybody else. I swear to fuck, you don't get tired of the old record, you know? And now, you want to know a real secret, don't tell anybody, but I could quite easily go out and get high. I want to. And I started thinking about it. You know what I really liked was a good fucking hearty acid trip with a bunch of beer and some spliff and a little something to like, you know, I was a dealer. I controlled warehouses. You know, I didn't run out. I never craved because I didn't run out. You know, that was, it was tricky, you know, and I had the adrenaline. And you know, to cut that whole spiral, that whole circus tail that I'm spinning here, right down to it, it always comes to this. Well, I just won't do it till midnight tonight. And then I stop thinking about it. And that way, you know, I'm hitting, hopefully, damn near 20 years, you know. It's a long time. It's a long time to me, anyway. And it all comes down to that little thing, I won't do it till midnight tonight. I love that. I love simple, accessible wisdom. Give me some, please. Because I wasn't very available when I was trying the first time around. And it's easy to chuckle at the dope culture that I grew up in, but you want to take it in perspective. You want to take a look at the geopolitical perspective of the era, such as Vietnam and Watergate and global pollution, and don't fucking, you know what I mean. Everything came in its place, you know. I got a book, it's a joke, anybody know, ever been in my place? I got several thousand books, floor to ceiling, it's my personal thing. Got a book, you know, one of these books. It's my little, that's in the dope hip section. And something like 50 years of dope in America, you know. And I'm skimming through, and there's the normal thing. There's Kesey, there's Leary, there's Huxley, there's Osley, there's, you know. And I get to the end. I was floored. Last big chapter in this book, surveying the dope culture and literature and music, yada, yada, yada. At the end, what's the chapter? It's all about the 12 steps. It's the logical next progression for people who want to get high. That's what it is. I was floored. I didn't expect that, you know, and I read it with real interest, and it's written with intelligence. You know, I think, man, you want to get high. I don't want to go back to, I never wanted to have a 9-to-5 job and have a nice, proper designer logo, blah, 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 blah. Fuck off. Give me a break. That'd get me stoned, you know. I've been in meetings. I go to a lot of meetings, and, you know, like everything else, any other activity you do, you can have some that stand out more than others, you know. I'm sitting there and sitting there. That person, I believe that person is a person on whose music I grew up. That person epitomizes hip and cool and energy and cutting edge and adrenaline. And he's listening to my story at this moment. Now, I'm not too hip to be impressed, you know. It's not why I'm here, so I can be a groupie or any of that fucking shit. At the same time, take the full picture. Some of this is quite dreary. I have been the only person to show up at a committee meeting on a dark and rainy night in Paddington, and nobody else even shows up, but I said I would because I got the literature. So, a lot of times I never even want to go out the door, but once you get out, there was a committee, it was H&I, you know. And it was me and a couple of bikers. It was fun. Once we got there, we shoot the shit. It was cool. It was comradeship. It was a fellowship. It was a community. Sometimes it's like all of us being right here now in this energy-charged cell, this room focused on our growth, our health, our having a better life, you know? And sometimes it's just three guys that drag themselves through a rainy winter night to sit there and say, well, look, are you going to cover that prison next week? Or I did it last week, you know? Man, you find such... This is as good as I ever felt, you know? I basically want to feel good. I never used in order to feel bad. I thought it might make me feel good. I was quite sure it was going to make me feel different. And I would settle for that because I didn't like the way I was feeling. You know, a little while ago, don't bother looking for any coherence or thematic integrity in my story, by the way. You got that bit already. A while ago, I was at a meeting, and I heard just one of the best things I ever heard. And it wasn't from somebody being around a while. It was from somebody shining with spiritual brilliance. It was from some absolutely desperate person who had used that morning, in fact. And he came in. And by God, I need to be reminded where I came from because I forget, because I'm only a bloody human being, and that's it. Hey, never think it's any different. You need to be reminded. It's powerful and it's reinforcing. My friend, I knew him for a long time. He'd been around. He'd used that morning. He came in and he said this. He says, crack is a whore. You want it, you want it, you want it, you want it. And you get it. You don't want it anymore. That summed up all my using. That's what I said already is, well, I'll get straightened out tomorrow. I'll get it together tomorrow. I won't be so fucked up I can't cope tomorrow. As I said, that can go on for your whole life, man. That was powerful. That stuck. You never know what'll hit. I remember, though, the thing I said, you know, I said already, now I've been clean longer than I used. I heard a guy say that. It was on a cassette, actually. A guy had used a cassette. Don't fucking point, you bastard. Cassette. It was on a cassette. It was a long time ago. All right? It was in my youth. Don't take sponsees. Don't do it. Don't let them sit in the front row either. The guy says this. He says, just because I have now been clean longer than I used doesn't mean I'm any less of an addict than I was. And I had a jolt. I snapped into clarity. I thought, this isn't just about shoving the dope into myself. I really got this thing. This fundamental thing that some people, I got a friend, let's say, I sure I do, who could, he'd smoke a joint on Friday night the same way I did. And I would then go carousing for the next 2 years, and he'd go off to university and get a job and stuff. It's an internal drive that makes me snap into compulsive consumer mode. And it was no damn choice of mine. Huh? Tell you that. And sometimes you can feel so weary, and you can feel so ashamed, and you can feel so regretful, and I feel like I lost a lot of my life. Kind of because I did, you know? So I never, you know, there's stuff I could have been doing and I wasn't doing it. But that's the fundamental thing. It was no choice of mine. You know, that's the truth. And I could be saying this, and I've said this like a room full of cops, you know, public information, whatever. I said, look, you know, it was no choice of mine. And then I say, you may think that's a load of horseshit. Because you saw me reaching out and dealing and buying and hustling and getting busted and going to the federal penitentiary and coming out and going straight back in with the new heavy connections that I picked up inside and all of that. And you could draw that video that we talked about, you know. Hey, well, it looks to me like he's doing it. An easy error to fall into. But back to that moment, mid-afternoon, September 14th, 1987, when I had my cling moment of comprehension. I realized maybe that's the only moment. In fact, that is the only moment. I had a clear choice. I thought, let's run through that again. This is an illness. I've got this illness. Now, if I do what these people are saying, everything will be all right. And I made that choice, you know. Other things I could never quite see. Where am I making the choice? How programmed are we? What have I inherited? I inherited my size, my eye color, my height. I had no choice. Like that, but less evident, are talent, skill, capacity, whatever it is inside the human personality. This person was born to play the guitar. That person is something else. We are all different. One of the good things I heard at the very beginning, when I wasn't hearing much, the guy says to me, you were not put here, his name was Dave, he says, you're not put here to be Dave, and I wasn't put here to be Robin. My job is to be the best Dave I can possibly be, and yours is to be the best Robin you can possibly be. And I managed to hear that. And I forget, always, I forget. This is a program of daily reminder, daily rejuvenation, daily regeneration, you know. Because I think, oh, that person got a better house than me. Or that person got to some fucking other thing. I jump around, you know, Jesus. And then the odd time somebody says to me, hey, that's pretty good what you did or what you got or what you accomplished. And I think, really? Fucking hell. And sometimes what I do, I go down, I write it down. You know, I write it down. And go, oh, yeah, he said that I was okay about this, you know. You get no extra points for beating yourself up. Don't bother. It comes natural, but don't buy into it. Don't invest. Don't put in extra energy. You low-life, stupid bastard. How could you have done such and such a thing? Or how could you have failed to do the other and equally remote opposite thing? The psychic hamster wheel, it spins. It's on overdrive. It doesn't rest. 3 o'clock in the morning. Why didn't you do that 32 years ago? Asshole. Oh, for God's sake, please. Well, let's rewind it. I'll do it. We'd be happy? Oh, no. You know. Unreal expectations might be a phrase. I try to avoid all the bloody phrases, really, because you hear the phrase, not the fact. Do you know what I mean? Don't avoid the bloody cliched. But unreal expectations, you know, for sure, I loathed myself at all times, full time, and I do a good job of it, too. I certainly realized, had it not been for the minor detail of having been born an addict and having no choice about it at all, as we've established, I could easily have been a mix between the Dalai Lama and Bill Gates. And you fucking twit. You should have, right? It was an obscure circumstance. I had a moment. These moments where you perceive something. And I ran into a guy I was in high school with. Back in Canada, you know? And I kind of assume everybody knows but me. Everybody does it right but me. Everybody, you know. And the guy who was a nice guy, for sure. But his life plan had summarized as such. He says, the weekend we graduated from high school, I went to the village and got a job in the automotive manufacturing plant. And that's about it. And I tried hard not to go, what the fuck? You know, stagger backwards and clutch my brow. I tried to say something nice. But I'm afraid it was a losing effort. I had kind of just like assumed that, you know, I'm here, I'm there. It was a moment of reappraisal. You know, I then felt like Huckleberry Finn going down the Mississippi on the raft having adventures, because I have had a few. Using, I guess, put like that, that helped me, I would say, even like I could not form a plan or whatever, but I lived high, fast, and wild around the world as a mad dealer. And in sobriety, I have tried to do the best I can, put it that way. It's done all kinds of things. I hold 2 degrees. One's a Bachelor of Arts in Theater. I teach in the theater. One's an Honors BSc. I'm a physician. I have my own clinic. I work as an artist. I'm a sculptor. I'm a printmaker. I teach. I'm a landscape gardener. I do this. I do that. And it's not enough. I know it's not enough, because I'm not enough. But sometimes people say, well, you know, it is okay. You know, you can just, it's okay. And I go, oh, it's okay, just for a minute, it's okay. I'm still wired on adrenaline. I'm still in overdrive. I've just managed to pull the poison, the toxins, the drink, the goddamn drugs out. And yes, some people can go home and they'll have one drink. Or on the weekend, they'll smoke one joint. Well, God bless them, you know? Good for you. It's okay. It's just not the way I am. And I need to be charged up, and I need to be calmed down, and I need to be sustained, and I need to retain my focus, you know? Stay focused, that's it. We're focused just for this, you know, what is it, an hour and a half we do. Basically for me, 3 or 4 times a week, maybe a little bit more now. I would say in my 20th year, I'm doing more meetings than I ever did, you know? It just seems it's not a chore. We know that. It's not deadly boring, or at least, who knows? You do it, you plan, although I'll meet you before, and then we'll go off after, and it's part of, you know, it's what you do. And this was not on offer ever before in history. As I said, I read. It's just one of my things. And I read a lot of history, and I can see, and such, after making an early success as a master of oil painting in the Renaissance, then died of drink. And you can stretch that throughout mankind's history. This compulsion, this built-in lunacy has been there forever, but never fucking before have we had the simple option of showing up somewhere for an hour, hour and a half, once in a while, and we don't have to destroy ourselves on a daily, sustained, miserable fucking basis. It's not a bad deal. Thank you for being part of it for me. As I said, this is just my moment when I'm on this side of the microphone, but we're all part of the circuit, the loop, the energy cell. Huh? We're part of it. It's your choice. Some people here are going to go out and use. Some of my long-term dear friends that I spent 20 years doing like lonely service with, one of the beloved biker gang that I just mentioned, he's dead now from a fucking OD, and they found him by the smell. Fucking glorious. What can I say? Some people here are going to relapse, but it doesn't have to be you. Nobody's going to make you do it. Nobody's ever going to say, fuck off, we don't want you here. It's not like that. Just till midnight tonight, do a little bit, you know. You've done it. You're here. Go to bed sober, wake up, do a little bit more. There are demons driving mankind. Take a look around. It's not hard to figure. But they don't have to get any of us right now. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for asking me to share.